Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. There's at least one Milwaukee attraction that never had to close during the coronavirus pandemic. Sculpture Milwaukee is a nonprofit organization responsible for filling downtown Milwaukee with outdoor art. The current exhibit will be on display for the next year. Sculpture Milwaukee has created one of the most robust collections of contemporary public art in the country. Mary Lou Knode is the Director of Curatorial Affairs and Education at Sculpture Milwaukee and a co-curator. She's been involved in the arts community for more than 30 years, and she spoke with Lake Effect's Becca Schimmel about the current exhibit.
How has Sculpture Milwaukee adapted to the pandemic and the protests and just a different year than really anyone expected?
Well, I will just say that the curatorial team has been working on the exhibition this year since last summer. So the minute every show opens, you're on. You keep moving forward to think about what might be relevant for this year. There's no doubt about the fact that when the pandemic hit and the economic climate for fundraising changed, we had really hoped to program up by about 30% more artworks because of the DNC and the incredible visibility of the city. But we had to really reduce things quite a bit for the reality of everything. We also had to delay our installation period because a lot of the work that we get is in New York, some in Los Angeles, and some in the UK this year, and quite a few works from Chicago. But, you know, if galleries close and the shippers are not working, there's nothing we can do. We do not have our hands on the artworks that we borrow from other people, from both galleries and artists. So we were delayed quite a bit. Getting the works out of the UK was tricky because we had a window of opportunity that kept moving. And it's funny because in January I was working on borrowing a work that by a British artist that was in China. And that window closed much sooner than anything else. So I have to say that I had a foretaste of what we were going to be going through with that particular work that we were not able to borrow because the museum was shut down by the time we needed to get it going. So in any case, we have a very nimble team of about 100 people, over 100 people, shippers, riggers, marketing folks, the curators, the team for fundraising, our board, our volunteers. So everybody has just been sort of reacting to the reality of our world. However, we are already physically distanced with what we do. You know, work is outside. And so we really are hoping that people who need just something to take their minds off of or to embed how artists reflect your world back to you, Sculpture Milwaukee is a really great chance to just get outside, get some exercise, maybe see other people, because I know that that's a really important thing for me right now. So, you know, I feel very fortunate that our board was really committed to putting Sculpture Milwaukee on this year, despite all this, you know, all of the problems that we've had. But we really do think that this is a year when public art can really be part of the discussion about what we're going through.
So tell me a little bit about this year's Sculpture Milwaukee.
So we have 19 artworks by 19 artists. Four of those artworks overwintered from last year. And I use that word on purpose because nobody really overwinters in Milwaukee. You either live here or you leave town for warmer climes. But, you know, we are really mindful of the fact that we like to keep the exhibition alive for people through the winter months. One of the impacts of COVID-19 is that many more of the works from this year's exhibition are going to be living through the winter into the spring and probably through 2021. And that's just a really great way for us to reflect the normal practice of our colleagues in museums where you have things up all year round. And it also gives people a chance to see the works in the fall and under snow, in the spring when the leaves change color, come back. So, you know, I feel like in many ways we've been able to adapt because you have a very inventive group of people that we're working with.
What are some of the artworks that really stood out to you in this year's Sculpture Milwaukee?
I love the piece. It's deeply meaningful to me because of the layers of work layers of meaning that he brings to us. The art history references I always appreciate because it allows me to activate, you know, my, you know, my medieval art history class with Marilyn Stockstad, and just to think about, you know, how do we look into the past and what the Greeks did to help us understand Western art history. Thomas Price is hacking into that art history by using the formal qualities of sculpture, but presenting a very, very timely bit of content to it. And that really changes how we look at art history. And I really appreciate that. I really love the Blob Monster. I find a great deal of meaning in Neri Ward's piece, Apollo Pole. You know, the Apollo Theater is certainly very important. Isabel Wilkerson, in her book, A Warmth of Other Suns, talked about the Great Black Migration, and the Apollo Theater was part of that, where artists, you know, performing artists of color could present their work to their audiences and create a really very vibrant place for, you know, theater, music, singers, etc. The fact that he has the sign flipped between Apollo and Pole is very current, where, you know, access to voting is really very much compromised, not just by voter ID laws, but by the pandemic. So again, that work had meaning a year ago when I asked to borrow the work for Sculpture Milwaukee, but it's extremely meaningful for us today. Now, we put that piece at the Wisconsin Center District, which was to be the corner of where the DNC was held. I do know that some of my colleagues across the country saw it in some of the coverage, but it wasn't nearly the kind of sort of vibrant beacon that we had hoped for. I think it still has a great deal of resonance for us. We are looking to work with some folks to do voter registration at the Apollo Pole. The problem being there are very few people downtown right now. So I don't know, it's going to be hard for us to register a lot of people to vote downtown. But we just really want to support people in our community who are already doing that kind of voter registration. And then Leslie Hewitt is another artist of color whose work is about the importance of Black-owned bookstores and their disappearance for various reasons. I think the Paula Crown piece in the Third Ward, her work is talking partially about party culture and, you know, the red Solo cups that you see in the garbage, you know, in the sewers after a party weekend. But it's also about the scourge of single-use plastic. And as one of the cities that stewards one of our Great Lakes, we have to really be mindful of how that impacts us as, you know, Milwaukeeans, but also what that means for human survival. So there are all kinds of stories that are told through all of the works. Even a work like Anna Fasshauer's piece that looks like a bunch of blue straws kind of crumpled up. She's really addressing sort of the extreme macho minimalism of the 1960s and 70s and how women have for a very long time sort of attacked it by adapting some of the vocabulary, but really twisting it. So it's a very playful piece. It looks a little bit wacky, like some kid threw its, you know, her straw down, but it's very playful, but also has some real deep meaning to it.
What challenges and opportunities has the pandemic presented for Sculpture Milwaukee?
Well, I would say that we've been very nimble in making lemonade out of lemons. So the fact that we have responded to this problem by having works over winter, but really in a deliberate way, so that the exhibition really does last for a year. I think that's a really great way in which we have, you know, kept the works here for public discussion. I think that one particular change I've made this year is that in my audio scripts, often I invite a lot of community members to talk about a work that maybe intersects with what they do for a living. So, for example, last year we had a Red Grooms hot dog vendor, and I asked Alexa Alfaro, who co-runs Meat on the Street food truck with her brother, and Alexa talked about what is it like to be a food vendor in a truck? You know, what kind of community do you have in your window? You know, your little window that sort of, you see your face and they see yours and you see theirs. There's something very playful about that. This year, I actually asked the artists to talk about their own work, and most of them responded positively. And so you're actually hearing the artists talk about some of their primary motivations for making their work. Another thing that I did this year in recognition of our isolation is I've started a reading group, and I've asked the artists what books were particularly inspiring to them for the works that we have on view. And so, for example, Neri Ward sent me a reference to a children's book about the Voting Rights Act, so that parents can get that book for their kids and talk about issues that maybe helped inform Neri in his thinking about Apollo Poll. So I'm planning on us doing some reading and some book reports over the winter, and I think we'll reach out to some other community members to see if, they want to tackle one of the books that the artists have represented. So lots of reading for the winter when we're all shut back inside. So if anybody is interested in a particular reading group, as a curator, when I go to artist studios, I often come away with a list of about four books. And it's sometimes overwhelming, so at least I'm sharing this with everybody else, and you can get a sense about how artists really think deeply. I think the cliche is that artists just sort of toss things off. It's not at all true. That's a tough thing to do, and I don't think we would be showing that work if that was as shallow as your, kind of engagement would be. There's all kinds of work that artists make, and I hope we've presented works that are stimulating for all the different ways in which we live as humans. There are things that are fun and playful. There are things that are really pretty straightforward and help us mourn the things that are happening in our society.
To your knowledge, has there been a change in how many people are going to see and interacting with the exhibits this year?
Well, that's always a tough thing for a public art program because we don't have docents standing next to each work and clicking who walks by it. We have used sort of a balanced way to figure out how many people may have engaged with the show. There are the statistics that Visit Milwaukee has about how many people have visited Milwaukee, and we know people come downtown because that is where you see a lot of cultural organizations anyway, the Milwaukee Art Museum, all the theaters, etc. But because this year we were not able to have group tours working with the docents at the Milwaukee Art Museum, we don't have those statistics, but I'll continue to do tours for small groups. City Tours is doing tours for people who maybe don't want to walk along the avenue. So there's somebody who can take your family along Wisconsin Avenue and down into the Third Ward to see the works. We have a lot of partners who lead tours in the city. Historic Milwaukee intersects and overlaps with Sculpture Milwaukee. And we continue to sort of get their statistics. We have some educational partners who are using us to stimulate hands-on activities. But that's, we really do think that because we're part of our entire community, maybe the entire community is part of our, the people who enjoy what we do.
Are there sculptures in either this year or previous years that seem especially relevant right now?
So, there have been a lot of topics that artists have explored over the last 4 years. Richard Wood's work, which overwintered from last year, was dealing with the global housing crisis and access to affordable housing. He was thinking a little bit about the British habit of caravanning, but also all the refugee crisis that's happening in Europe. That seems to have real relevance to the United States right now, because of the threat of eviction for a lot of folks who've lost their jobs. The importance of African and African diasporic beliefs and traditions in contemporary society have come up in many works: Shekiah Booker, Alison Saar, Sanford Biggers. The impact of immigration on the laws and traditions in this country that was explored in some ways in the works of Radcliffe Bailey, Skye Hopinka, Carlos Rolon, Joan Capote. How architecture makes place, and there's a lot of works in the shows that have sort of pointed to how we form our cities and how we and our beliefs shape our reactions and interactions with place. The importance of protecting our landscape as climate changes, Roxy Payne, Carlos Rolon. So there are all these themes in every year that really sort of address things that may be really very acute this year.
How have artists you know and work with reacted to what's going on in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and across the country, really?
Well, I would say that artists are very smart people and they react to whatever environment they live in. So, for example, we have two British artists in the show, and Thomas Price. We've talked about at length, but Julian Opie and his Natalie Walking is thinking about the homogenization of cities, and we're losing a lot of what's really unique about place. And so by having this young woman walking in our downtown environment, you know, it's about how women have migrated into our economic centers. Are they leaders? Are they employees? You know, what role do women play in having an impact in our businesses? And there's a lot of writing about diversity of leadership of businesses makes them more sustainable and more nimble. And I wonder what we're going to be talking about it in a year, how women in leadership positions can help companies make it through this period. There's been a lot of writing about how a lot of countries' leaders that are women have helped their countries get through this pandemic. So I think we're going to all be talking about what are those points of contact for what it is that we're thinking about. Paul Druka's work, which we brought back, was commissioned in 2017, but is incredibly relevant today. He's a Milwaukee-based artist who talks about the lake and how we gather around water places. You know, access to water is one of the most important things we need as humans, but it's also often the trigger for wars. So when you think about a lot of the conflict in the Middle East, it's because who has access to the source of water. The Nile is a very contested space. The Ottoman Empire was fighting to control water, fresh water, in the Middle East in the 19th century. So, you know, there are all these touchstones that I think we'll really reflect upon in the next year.
What are the changes you all are planning for next year? Or can you tell me a little bit about what you're looking forward to about the next show?
So I will continue to bring in a good group of guest curators to help expand sort of the artist base that we work with. That's always a lot of fun. And that's a pretty typical thing, too, in museum practice, to bring in people with different expertise. I look forward to us having the works up through the fall, winter, and spring, because the works really do change the way we see our downtown. And I think we'll continue to need opportunities and reasons to get out of our houses in the next 6 months.
Mary Lou Canode is the Director of Curatorial Affairs and Education at Sculpture Milwaukee. She helped to curate this year's display in downtown Milwaukee, and she spoke with Lake Effect's Becca Schimmel.